الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا من سيئات اعمالنا يهدي الله فلا مضل له فمن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد يا ايها الذين امنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران العظيم اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياه ليبلوكم ايكم احسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. We praise Allah the Almighty. We seek His help, guidance, and protection. And we bear witness that whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever Allah leads to error cannot be guided aright. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah the Almighty. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's messenger and His servant. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon His servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his companions and his family and the Muslims all over. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, in today's khutbah, I want to focus on that surah, chapter in the Quran, entitled Al-Mulk. Al-Mulk, the domination or the dominion of the heavens and the earth, the kingdoms of the heavens and the earth. Al-Mulk, the 67th chapter of the Quran. And I just want to quote one ayah, one verse from this illustrious chapter. Brothers and sisters, in looking over our jama'ah, in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam today, as compared to the ummah years ago, that was headed by our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the khalifas after him, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum. I was trying to understand the basic difference between them and us. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Khayru ummati qarni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum." The best of my ummah is my generation, and then the generation that follows it, and then the generation that follows it. We are far from the generation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you cannot compare us like those noble companions. But what I like to do, brothers and sisters, inshallah, today, to try to push us closer toward that ideal ummah 1400 years ago of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I believe that there's one ingredient that they have that we miss. And that's what I want to talk about today. Brothers and sisters, many of us Muslims are not motivated. Unmotivated, uninspired. In one of the most basic fundamental hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a statement that he made is that you're going to go over this statement over and over again throughout your life. This is a profound statement that can be found in almost every hadith, every great book about Islam. It is the famous statement by Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat." Deeds are by intention. And one translation of the word niyyah is motive. Deeds are by motive. Therefore, everything that we say, everything that we do has a motive. There is a reason why. There's a reason why you came to this masjid today, Yom for Yom Jum'ah. Some of you came for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah demands for you in the Quran to hasten to the remembrance of Allah, so you came to a masjid for Him. Some came here today in this masjid not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for another reason. Allah knows best the reason. So everyone must always check their motive. Why? Why do I do the things I do? Why do I say the things I do? What makes me get up in the morning? And brothers and sisters, many of us are not motivated. And so many of us can't get up early in the morning because we have nothing to push us. No motive, no motivation, nothing to inspire us. But not the case of the Sahaba, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had motivation. Many of them get up early in the morning before dawn. What makes them get up 3 o'clock in the morning? While others can't even get up for Fajr prayer. What makes some come to the masjid for Easter prayer? Others can't even pray at home. Next week, inshallah, Friday, Saturday, we'll be fasting. It'll be the month of Ramadan. What makes some Muslims fast during the month of Ramadan? Others don't have the power to go 1 hour or 2 hours without eating. What is it? It is motive. That thing that drives you, that pushes you. And the Sahaba had motivation. What is it that makes the Sahaba give all that he has, all of his money, fi sabilillah, while others give nothing for Allah? I know a case. I spoke at a fundraiser dinner. There was a Muslim businessman in the affair who made millions of dollars profit 1 year. And we expected him to give a sizable donation. He gave, I think, less than $100. What is it that makes some people greedy and not spend in the way of Allah? What made the Sahaba leave their families, leave their homes, leave their businesses in Mecca and migrate to Medina? What is it? What is it that makes some Sahaba participate in 19 ghazwa? Battles he had, fi sabilillah. What was it that made one Sahaba to ask the Messenger of Allah, where will I be after this day? And then after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the answer, the man threw down his bait and went and fought until he died. What is it? What is it that allows some of the Sahaba to not only fast on the month of Ramadan, but to fast in 105 degree heat? Fighting battles in the heat. While many Muslims can't even do the very basics and the fundamentals. What is it that made some Sahaba so hungry that they had to put stones around their belly because they had nothing to eat? What made some Sahaba where you can entrust them with wealth and they wouldn't spend one coin of it, and yet return the wealth back to whomever it belongs to? Yet some people, you can't even give one penny, $1, unless they violate the trust that Allah gives them. What makes one Sahaba not want to be in the presence of women by himself? And what makes so many of these Muslims today commit zina, fornication, and adultery? What's the difference? There's one basic difference. What makes some Sahaba get up and everything the Prophet taught from Quran, they learned it. They learned Quran, memorized hadith, and yet some of us don't even know Qul Huwallahu Ahad. What's the difference? one thing. They were motivated by something more than we're motivated by. In my estimation, that thing that motivated them is their firm belief in Al-Akhir, the hereafter. What motivates you? Dunya. Some of you brothers, if we say we're going to give you a job making $1,500 a week, you might be motivated to get up. Some say we give you a scholarship to some university, you may be motivated to get up, motivated to study. But in my estimation, there's no greater motivation than belief in Al-Haq, the truth, in Al-Quran, and the belief in Al-Akhir, the hereafter. Al-Jannah, the garden. Al-Nar, the fire. Brothers and sisters, hear me well. From the 67th chapter of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Blessed is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his hand is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This earth, the sun, the moon. People in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he has power over all things. Listen. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. It is He, Allah, who created death. Created what? Created death. He created what? He created death and life to test you who is best in conduct. He is powerful and forgiving. Death is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death is no accident. Death is a creation by Allah, planned, thought of, and created. Death is creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His purpose. Today, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about the death of death. The death, the destruction, the ending of death. Death is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this creation will one day come to an end. Death will come to an ending, and for some people, death coming to an end will be so merciful. But for others, the ending of death is the beginning of suffering. And the worst thing ever to happen to them is that death comes to an end. There are some people who will pray for death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a sign in this world, in this country. Every year, over 40,000 Americans take their own lives. They kill themselves. They shoot themselves. They hang themselves. They take pills. They drown themselves. They jump off out of buildings. They stab themselves. Why? Because for them, death is better, they believe, than live the kind of life that they're living. But Allah warns us in Quran. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابٍ مُؤَجَّلًا. No soul can die except by the permission of Allah. It's written in a book, even if you desire to kill yourself. Maybe you won't be successful. What's the evidence? The evidence in America, while 40,000 Americans kill themselves, over 400,000 attempt and they fail to kill themselves, even after trying to kill themselves. They can't do it. Why? Because Allah didn't determine that's their time to die. So man gets on the highway and drives 100 miles per hour and he runs in front of a car headlong. He lives and the other person dies. Why? It's written in a book when you will die. People put guns to their heads and shoot the bullet and they don't die. Why? Because it's not the will of Allah for them to die then. And so for them, death is better than to live. My brothers and sisters, there's going to come a time where the greatest thing for some people will be death. When is that? When death dies. There is some controversy among some Muslims for the statement I'm about to make. But for the people who know, there is no controversy. I'm going to give the position of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba and all of the great scholars how they understand what I'm about to say, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every soul shall taste death. Every soul. Nobody gonna escape. Even the angel of death himself must die. Everybody will die except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when he pleases, he raises them up again to live. Everybody will be resurrected. But there's one creation that will die, never to live again. And that is death. There's going to come a time, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to raise up his servants, all of them. Billions of them. Billions of them. Some, he will say, enter my Jannah. Others will be dragged on their faces to hellfire. How long will the Jannah live? How long will a paradise exist forever? No more death. You must believe as a believer, you must believe that Jannah, paradise, the garden, khalidina fiha abada, you will live in there forever. You must believe that you shall be young and never grow old. You must believe that you'll be healthy and will never get sick. You must believe that you will eat but never pass the call of nature. You must believe that. This is Allah's gift for his servant. But then there's another place called An-Nar, Jahannam, hellfire. How long will it last? Forever. How long will the hellfire last? Forever. How long will the hellfire last? Forever. Some say no. How could it? Will people come out of hellfire? Yes. Many people will come out of hellfire. Some will say, for periods of time, get burnt, and Allah out of his mercy and kindness will bring them out of hellfire. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow intercession from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad will come and ask Allah, please can I take these out? Allah will give him permission. Please can I take these out? Allah will give him permission. Can I take these out? Allah will give them permission. But then there's going to come a time when the Prophet is going to ask Allah, please can I take them out? Allah will say, no, no more after this. Everybody who's in hell is those who are imprisoned in hell by the Quran and they can't get out. And they will live in it forever. Never to escape it ever. And you say, how can it be? You don't understand because it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is nothing to play with. Hellfire is real. And some people
will never change. Tell me I'll be there in 1 billion years and then I have a chance to go to Jannah. No! After 1 billion years, after 1 trillion years, after 10 trillion years, you still being there, calling you up here forever, never to escape again. And nobody can help you. When Allah decrees a thing, that's it. All throughout Quran, all throughout Sunnah. Let tadkhulul jannah hatta tu'minu. No one will enter paradise except those who believe. Only believers in paradise. I say to you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing to play around with. Alladhi khalaqa al-maut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death. But one day, He's going to put an end to death. When people enter paradise, and people enter the hellfire. And then a voice will cry out and say, no more death, only life. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, I quote for you the beautiful words of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alladhi khalaqa al-mauta wal-hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu 'amala wa huwa al-'azizu ghafur. You see, Allah who created death and life to test you. Who is best in conduct? And He is powerful. And He is forgiving. Brothers and sisters, when will the judgment be? When? Will it be later today? Will it be tomorrow? Will it be next week? How much time do we have? Allahu A'lam. The prophets didn't know. The angels don't know. The only one who knows the hour is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there are many ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who begins like this. لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا تقوم الساعة حتى كذا وكذا وكذا. The hour of judgment will not come until the hour of the judgment will not come until such and such. This morning I was on my way to take my children to school. And I saw a big yellow sign with bold red lettering that said, signs of every kind. And you know what? That made me stop. I've been by this way many times, but for the first time I saw that big yellow sign with red bold letters. Signs of every kind. If you want to get to California, and you don't know how to drive there, you better get directions from somebody. And if somebody give you directions, they tell you which way to go, and they tell you to watch out for this sign and that sign. Landmarks. You're going to come across a big black mountain. You're getting closer. You're going to see a big lake on your right. You're getting closer. And then you're going to see a large tree. Big shade. You're getting closer. And so when someone begins to drive in that long journey, and when they begin to see the signs, and then finally it says California, 10 miles. Then you know you're in the right direction because you see all the signs that they told you, all the landmarks are there. And that you know, you're getting closer. How long will it take? I don't know. But I know one thing. We're getting closer by the signs that I see. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hour will not come until you see the increase of zina, fornication and adultery. Not only is it the order of the day in the street among non-Muslims, even some Muslims are bold enough who believe in the hereafter, believe in hellfire, and know that punishment for committing adultery and fornication is hellfire. They know it. And still bold enough to do it. Fornication and adultery in Cuba. Intoxicants. Khamra increasing. Not only among the non-believers. Now some Muslims bold enough to take crack, cocaine, heroin, drugs, reefer, liquor. Bold enough, and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know Allah's punishment. So you think that Allah's going to be merciful for you, to you, and you know what you're doing, and you persist in your evil, playing with fire. The sign. And not only that, earthquake. You will see it more and more. And when you start to see more, know that we passed that sign. And one of the things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you're going to see a lot of it. Haraj. They said, what do you mean? He said, killing. Killing. Brothers and sisters, I say this in my conclusion. General Motors, I say Motors, I think lay off 60,000 people, some crazy number. TWA, I think, bankrupt. Macy's bankrupt. As all these big monster conglomerations and businesses fail, great corporations fail, people who for years have had steady jobs, steady income, these same upper-class, middle-class people who used to laugh at the poor people, always in the courthouse, always standing in the line at the landlord-tenant court, where the auditors so-called trying to keep their apartment because they're poor, they don't have money, laughing at them. All of a sudden now, these people who lost their jobs, now losing their homes. Now they're in the courts now, trying to stop the foreclosure, trying to get their homes back. Why? Because Allah is knocking it all down. But now then, what are the consequences of that? If crime is going to increase anyway, drugs are going to increase anyway, now what's going to happen to these people who had a whole lifetime of luxury, never had to suffer? Now what happens to these people? They don't have a job now. Unemployment runs out. They can't get a job with all of the expertise. Then what happens? Some of them will get a gun and blow their brains out. Can't take it. Others of them will get a gun and blow your brains out and take your money. On the increase, murder. In school, high school, murder, broad daylight. You're going to see more and more. This society is going to become so evil. You will see people in front of your faces raping women. You will see them robbing in your faces, broad daylight. You're going to see it right here in this society. Believe me. It's going to get so bad. that a person will pass a grave and wish that I could be in the grave and take the place of the person in the grave is going to be that bad. Why? Because it is a sign that we're getting closer to the day of judgment. How close is it? Allahu alam. Allah knows. But I can tell you this. There is an angel ready right now to blow the horn, and the horn is to his lips. And when the horn is blown, it's over. They would want death. But death will come. Would that I were a piece of dust, they will say. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. I want to say to you today that hellfire is serious. And Allah's Jannah is serious and is real. I leave with a quotation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We leave with this note. Our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laqabu Kausin fi al-jannah khayru mimma tadru'u alayhi ash-shams aw taghrubu." Listen to this as we conclude. He said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a space in paradise the size of a bowl, 4 feet, 3 feet, a bowl now, the size in paradise, the size in the garden, a space, the distance of a bowl, is better than everything the sun sets on and rises upon. The whole universe. We believe what Prophet Muhammad said. Everything you said is truthful. A space in paradise. A space in paradise. Like this. In paradise. Like this. A small space. It's better than the whole kingdom and everything in it. A little space in paradise. Why? What is it that you want, brothers and sisters? You want $1 billion? Do you really want it? Do you want a nice home? Do you want women? Do you want drugs? What is it that you want? If Allah gives you everything that you ask for in this dunya, don't you know it's going to be taken away? Because the nature of the dunya is that things die. Everything dies in the dunya. So what is it that you want? You want to be handsome? You want to be beautiful? You want long hair? You want muscles? You want to be Michael Jordan? What is it that you want from the dunya? Allah loves you. What he wants for you is al-jannah. His gift for you is jannah. And a space the size of a ball is better than the entire universe. Everything in it, what is it that you want? You mean to tell me you're going to trade jannah for some drugs? You want to exchange paradise for a woman prostitute? You're going to exchange paradise for some money that's going to rot in your pocket? You want to exchange paradise for what? Fame and fortune? No. Give me space in paradise. Why? Because in that space of paradise, you'll never die. And in that space in paradise, you will have whatever you want. In that dunya, sidnu lil mu'min wa jannatu lil kafir. This earth, this dunya, is a prison for the believer. But it's a paradise for the disbeliever. You want the paradise now? Go on and get it. You want these naked women, brothers? Go ahead and get them. And take fire in your belly. Or you want to wait for the judgment of Allah and stay within His hudud. You want to be free with the kafirs and do what you want to do? You don't want to fast on Ramadan? Go ahead. Don't fast. And wait for Allah's reward. But if you want your paradise later on, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, then wait on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get up out of your bed in the morning and get on to your place of prayer. If you want Allah's paradise that never ends, if you want eternal youth, you can't get it here in dunya. And these people here will tell you, believe in Santa Claus, believe in fairy tales, but don't believe in life after death. You're in college now. They call you a fool for believing in the hellfire. You believe in hellfire? You believe it's eternal? Yes, we believe it's eternal. And we believe you're going there, and whoever's going there, if they don't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't care what they say. Let them laugh at us. Let them mock us. Let them scorn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Yom Kiyamah, we will laugh at them. Laugh now. All your riches and all your fame and all your homes and all your cars. Laugh now. We get the laugh on the day of judgment. And we're sitting in the mansions. And one mansion distance from another mansion is like one planet to another planet. I'd rather the hereafter. Because when we understand and go after the hereafter will take care of this life. But if you go after this life, you not only ruin this life, you ruin the hereafter. Stay within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe in Him and know that death is a creation of Allah. And one day Allah is going to put an end to death. And on that day, there are going to be people who wish that death was still in existence so that they can die rather than the eternal fire in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are merciful. Please shower us with your mercy. Oh Allah, please guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, make this ummah pleasing to you. Oh Allah, make this ummah pleasing to your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make us to love your guidance in the form of Al-Quran. Oh Allah, bless this ummah with strength to follow all of your injunctions. Oh Allah, develop among us taqwa, the fear of Allah, so that we may stay away from those things that you have ordered us to stay away from. Oh Allah, please help us and unite our families and unite the Muslim ummah everywhere. Oh Allah, make us to love the hereafter more than we love this life. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ala azwaji Muhammad wa ala dhurriyyati Muhammad wa sallam taslima kathira. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الحمد لله رب العالمين.